It's going to be the best Easter service you've ever been to. Not because I'm here, but because he's here. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to John chapter 11. That's where we're going to start here. We're going to pray in a second. But first, I think it's very important to tell you about Johnny. Unless you don't want to know about him, I won't tell you about him. But you want to know about Johnny. Johnny and his mom, you know, they were at Walmart, and they ran into their pastor. And Johnny ran up and said, "Hi, Pastor." And he said, "Johnny, what are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, we're getting ready for Easter. We're buying Easter decorations, and we're buying Easter candy." And Johnny was just thrilled and excited about that. And Pastor said, "That's awesome, Johnny. But, Johnny, do you know what the real meaning of Easter is?" And he looked at his pastor and said, "I sure do, Pastor. I said, that's the week that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and they were waving the palm branches at him, saying, 'Hosanna, Hosanna.'" He said, "Wow, Johnny, that's right, that's good. Is that all you know?" I said, "No, Pastor, I know more." He said, "I know that week that Jesus kind of got into trouble and people yelled at him and they beat him and they nailed him to the cross. I know that happened." And Pastor said, that's right, Johnny, you're right on the mark." He said, what else do you know about this Easter, the real meaning of Easter?" And Johnny said, "Well, I know that after Jesus died, they placed him in a tomb and they rolled a big stone in front of that tomb so nobody could go in and nobody could go out." And the pastor said, "Johnny, you got this down." And you know, in his head, the pastor was thinking, "I'm impressed. I've done a great job with this child. You know, he's feeling like he's really hung the moon, you know." And he said, "Johnny, but the Easter story doesn't end there." And he says, "Oh, I know, Pastor. That's not the end of the story." He said, "On the third day, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus stepped out of the tomb and looked for a shadow to see if there'd be six more weeks of winter." So I guess Johnny still needed some work, and the pastor didn't do as good as he thought he did. Amen. Are you ready to pray? Amen. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we are all here. We need you. We need help. Father, there's people that come from different backgrounds, different places, have never had an encounter with God. Yeah. People that think this is foolishness. But Lord, that's just because they haven't experienced you yet. I thought the same thing until I had an encounter. So Father, I pray that you'd be real this morning. And how is that going to be? You're going to speak to people. Father, you're going to say things that come out of my mouth. Father, that are going to strike the bullseye in people's hearts. And it's going to be so pertinent to their life. And they're going to think, how in the world did he know I needed to hear that? And the truth is, I didn't. But Father, you're so good and supernatural. It'll be a way for people to experience you this morning. Father, may you be real unto them. Father, that's the problem why people don't want to come to you, why people don't want to go to church, because it's usually dead. It's usually nothing going on. They've never had experience with you. But Lord, one touch and taste of you will change everything. So Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, as the psalmist of old said. I will speak as the oracles of God with boldness and utterance this morning. And Father, I thank you we'll have a move of God here this morning and people will encounter you, even if it be their first time ever. And Lord, I pray that they would see that there's a better tomorrow. A life with you is filled with so many good things. And for that, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 25, of course, this is Resurrection Sunday. I like to say it this way, it's the greatest event that mankind has ever known when Jesus came out of that grave. It opened the door for so much for our lives to be able to walk into and to inherit. We're so grateful. And Jesus said in John chapter 11 and verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead," one translation says, "though they might die, he shall live." Well, what does that mean? Well, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the number one thing that was provided for us was eternity, salvation. And he says, even though a person might die a natural death, they're not dead forever. They're going on to live. Well, that verse we looked at in the offering, Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who would just ever believe on him?" Isn't it great to know that you don't have to jump through religious hoops to get accepted by God? I don't care what the devil's telling your mind. I don't care what so-and-so grandma told me a lot of things that weren't right by the Bible. Now, bless her heart, she was sweet. And she loved the Lord, but she was ignorant on some things. And she came to me and said, oh, you got to jump through this hoop, jump through that hoop. You're just not a candidate for him. Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, if I believe on him, I won't perish but have everlasting life. And so the main thing that God has offered people that I'll give everybody a chance to enter into at the end of the service is eternal life. It's the greatest gift. There's no doubt. It's the greatest gift. Eternity in a place of heaven. Jesus paying the price so we could go there to be with our Heavenly Father. And it's a simple gift and it's a free gift. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to do anything except just declare your belief in Him. And that's the most important thing. And we'll get to that. But I also want to talk to you this morning. Well, I'll say it this way just so you know how this came about. I couldn't sleep last night. And usually when I can't sleep like that, wide awake in the middle of the night, I know there's a reason. So I got on my knees and started to pray and said, Lord, what is it? Well, He gave me specifically what I'm supposed to share this morning. Now, I had an idea weeks ago that it would be a Jesus-centric message, that He would be the focus, and He will be. And I knew that, but that's all I really knew, and I kind of had an idea of the direction I was going to go this morning. It's going to kind of piggyback off of last night, but that's not what He said in the middle of the night. So get ready for a blessing this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, I want to show you something here in the Word that'll change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that He made Jesus, Him, to be sin for us who knew no sin. So notice that the Bible says Jesus was made sin. On the cross, He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might, or the result of that would be, is that we could become the righteousness of God. Amen. That's a pretty good gift. To be, as people say, Pastor Mike, who do you think you are? I think I'm the righteousness of God. If Jesus was standing right next to me and God was sitting right there and someone said, who's more righteous, Jesus or Pastor Mike? The majority of the Christian world would say Jesus is, but my Bible says that I've been made the righteousness of God. Amen. The righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't get any more righteous than that. Jesus ain't more righteous than that. Amen. You better just accept that instead of beating yourself up and condemning yourself for all the mistakes you've made. Just accept who you are. But anyways, the Bible says he was made sin. Now, why was He made sin? So we could go to heaven. Now, go to John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, not just regular John, 1 John, same guy. But towards the back, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. So remember, the Bible says Jesus was made sin for us. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that if you sin, that you sin not, right, that you don't sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, verse 2 tells us what the verse we just looked at tells us. And He is the propitiation. That means atonement, sacrifice, payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so the Bible here tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Jesus was made sin for us. And then it tells us here that He was the propitiation, which means atonement, sacrifice, or payment for our sins. The precious blood, we were not purchased with silver or gold or corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Bible says. Now, here's what I want to point out about this and going to where we're going today. Jesus was the only answer for man's sin. For years from the Garden of Eden, sin dominated. The devil dominated. Well, Jesus came along, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 that He has now defeated the devil and that He holds the keys to death in the grave, hell in the grave. He's got the keys now. He's the answer. Praise God. And Jesus was the only answer for sin. But I want to show you something that from sin, what that provided us. Because Jesus was the answer, and He did defeat sin. He became sin for us. Our sin is not the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is not what keeps people out of heaven. Yeah. Well, they're just too bad. No, no, no. Not receiving the gift of Jesus keeps people out. God wants nobody to go to hell. God wants nobody to die without Jesus. Jesus paid the price. All you have to do is receive it. How do you receive it? Believe on Him. That's what the Word's told us. We see that already today. Sin is not the problem. Why? Sin's been taken care of. Sin's been obliterated by the blood, praise God. And so, Jesus was the only answer. Well, sin is not a natural thing. It manifests in the natural through actions and words and things like that. But its root was found spiritually by the devil. The devil's not a natural being, he's a spiritual being. Well, the devil was the first one that committed any high treason with God or any sin, was cast out of heaven years ago when he was the angel Lucifer. He's the reason for sin. Sin came into the world through him. Well, was, you know, came through mankind, through Adam and Eve. But so go with me real quick to Romans 5 and verse 12. I'm just kind of, you know what we're doing right now? We're just priming the pump. Have a chainsaw at home, you know, or get that thing rip-roaring. You got to prime the pump first, get that thing going. We're just priming the pump right now. We're about ready to chop the head off the devil. Praise God, I'm telling you. Get this thing going. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. That's talking about when Adam and Eve sinned. The Garden of Eden was perfect. The devil was here, but the devil can't have dominion over what God says you can have dominion over. God told Adam and Eve, you have dominion over everything. That meant even the snake that would come along in Genesis 3 via the serpent, you know, and try to get them to sin. And the Bible says one man sinned, so Adam and Eve messed up, and sin entered into the world. And now look what the result of sin was, and death. See, God's intention for mankind was to never die. That's why when you look in the Bible and you see the lifespans from people, they go from hundreds of years, and as the years go, they get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Why? It took a little time for sin to weave its way through and death by sin, but it got in there. God's intention, you see, from the Garden of Eden, from the place that mankind sinned, everything changed. Things turned to thorns and thistles. Childbirth became hard and with labor. Death entered into the world. Murders and all these things was a result of sin. But one thing you also see as a result of sin is sickness. Sickness is a result of sin. The root of sickness, now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everybody that's going through sickness is sinning and doing things wrong. But the root of how sickness is on the earth came from sin. There was no sickness until sin. Sin was a byproduct, or sickness was a byproduct of sin. Well, if it's a byproduct of sin, what was the only remedy to the sin problem? Jesus. The only true remedy to the sin problem. The only true remedy to the sickness and disease problem is Jesus. Now we celebrate on Easter that Christ died for our sins on the cross. And that by receiving Him we can have eternal life. And that's true. But what the body of Christ leaves out is He died just as much on the cross for your sickness and disease as He did your sin. But here's the thing. If you're not aware of it, you won't receive it. I remember there was a website that a lady from the Olean Church had told me. She said, Pastor Mike, I think I saw your name. She said, is this your address? I said, yeah. And she said, well, I'm on a New York State website, and maybe you ought to check this out after. And for unclaimed funds, you know, whether it be refund something up there, but there's millions of dollars on this New York State website for unclaimed funds. And my name happened to be on it. And so there's an amount of money that belongs to me that's in my name that I'm not taking advantage of or using. Why? Didn't know about it. Say, Pastor Mike, if Jesus also provided for our sickness, why are Christians sick? Well, I'll ask you this. If Jesus provided salvation for everybody, why are people unsaved? You know, I didn't get saved until I knew about it, until somebody told me, then I received it. It's the same with healing. And many people don't know. You know, we celebrate Christ died for our sins, and thank God for it. But He died for your sickness and your disease so you wouldn't have to live with it. But don't take my word for it. Who gives a flooty-tooty what Pastor Mike thinks? Who gives a rip what I say? It doesn't matter what I say. Don't matter what Grandma so-and-so says. Don't matter what preacher so-and-so. I don't care if they got a TV ministry of thousands of people. It only matters what God says. It's not the opinions of man that we're after. It's not the theories and ideas of men that we're after. A lot of people say, wow, Pastor Mike, you're so bold when you preach the word. Not really. I'm just saying what he says. That's easy. I've made my living being a professional plagiarizer. I'm just willing to say what he said. And I'll show you in the word today the blessing. Go to Galatians 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Jesus was the only true remedy to sin. Well, if sickness is a byproduct of sin, which it is, once sin entered the world, death also entered, sickness entered. The only true remedy to it is Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now remember that word, but how did he redeem us from, or that statement, how did he redeem us from the curse of the law? It says right here, being made a curse for us. When did Jesus become a curse for us? Well, it goes on to say, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. When Jesus hung on the tree, the Bible says he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, for those of you that don't know, and I'm going to take time to study this out, in the Old Testament was the law. And there were blessings of the law, following God's ways, and there were curses of the law. Now, if you look at the blessings and the curses, and if they're only spiritual, and they're only for the forgiveness of sins, then that's all the redemption was. But the problem is, when you look at the blessings, and you look at the cursings, the blessings of following God for doing the law were bodily healing. And the curses of walking into sin and disobeying, sin coming in, the curses of it were sickness and disease. And in fact, it says in Deuteronomy 28, that's where you find that, verses 1 through about 60-something. 1 through 15 is the blessings, and all the rest are all the curses. At the end of that, it says, because it mentions a lot of sickness in there. And then at the end it says, and every sickness that's not mentioned here. That means everything. Well, you could read it this way then. If we know that being redeemed from the curse of the law, if one of the curses of the law was sickness, you can say this. Not only did Jesus die on the cross and redeem you from your sin, he redeemed you from your sickness and your disease. And again, I know the question is, then why do I have this in my body? You might just not have learned how to appropriate healing yet. The promises of God do not fall on your head like a ripe piece of fruit off a tree and bonk you in the head and just you get them. No. Salvation didn't come your way that way. How did you get salvation? You had to learn, believe, and receive. It's the same for healing. And so many times people say, well, God can't be a healer, so-and-so sick. God can't be a healer, so-and-so died. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change the word. Doesn't change the word. The word is the word is the word is the word. And until you learn the word and learn how to appropriate this, you won't experience it. I'm telling you, that's how it works. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise the name of Jesus forevermore. Go with me to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. We see some of these pictures of Jesus. Now you have to understand something about the Old Testament. It says about the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says the things that happened in the Old Testament were written for our example. There's things called in the Old Testament types and shadows. What's that mean? There were types of Jesus in the Old Testament and shadows of him to come. Things that, different stories that happened that were a type of his death, burial, and resurrection, shadows of them as well. And in Exodus chapter, what did I say, 12? Verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. We don't need to look at that verse. Go to verse 5. That'd take too long. Well, actually, go to verse 4 of that. He talks about taking a lamb. I should point this out. He talks about bringing a lamb, verse 5. He says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male, kind of sounds familiar. According to his eating, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now look what he's saying here about the lamb. What this is talking about is the Passover lamb, or the lamb that was sacrificed for atonement in the Old Testament, or payment for sins or wrongs. And the Bible says here that the lamb that they're supposed to pick of the Old Testament is to be a male that is without spot and blemish. Well, what did John the Baptist say about Jesus? There's the lamb that was slain before the fountain, right? He said, that's the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Peter said, the lamb without spot and blemish, 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. So the Passover lamb was a type and shadow or a forecoming of what Jesus would do. Well, what were they supposed to do with this Passover lamb? Well, go with me down to verse 13, I'm sorry. And the blood shall be, let's see. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it's called the Passover. So they're supposed to sacrifice the lamb, sounds like Jesus, the lamb that was slain, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost, because remember what was happening. It says right here, I'll pass over you, and the plague, look up that word plague in the Old Testament, means sickness, disease, affliction. It says if you'll put the blood on the doorpost, because remember the sickness was going through, and he said for the Jews, his people, he said put the blood on the doorpost, I'll pass over you on that. And it says, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. So the plague's going through, but the blood strengthened their physical bodies so that they didn't receive the same thing that the Egyptians received. And I know you're thinking, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll get there. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 1. This is Old Testament stuff, but I'm pointing something out about Jesus being the lamb that was slain. Because why? There's always types and shadows in the Old Testament of what Jesus did. Now, I'm making the claim today that Christ died not only for your sin, but for your sickness. Well, we're going to see that in the Old Testament there were types and shadows of that sacrifice that led to health in people's bodies. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, in verse 1, it says, and Hezekiah sent to all of Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover under the Lord of our God. This is almost 800 years later than what we read about in Exodus. Almost 800 years later, we read this. He says, come on, we're going to keep the Passover. Well, what did the Passover represent in Exodus? Physical strength to their bodies. Now drop down to verse 20. Now this was, if you read the story, they kept the Passover. They did what the Passover was required in the law. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. When what? When they kept the Passover. What did the Passover represent? Physical strength in their body. Well, what does that have to do with us? I'm glad you asked. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, what else they were supposed to do with that Passover is they were supposed to partake of it or eat. Or partake of the Passover lamb. Now, this is a lot of teachy stuff here, but we'll get into some preachy stuff here in a second. But you have to see this. Because most people have no idea that Jesus died for their sickness, and they're walking around sick and have no idea they don't need to be. That went over like a lead balloon. We're trying to take you from sickness and disease into a place of health. We could have numerous people stand up in here that came to this church, came to family church in sickness and disease. And even were Christians living in sickness and disease. And didn't receive it until they learned what God had done, appropriated faith towards it, and now are walking in divine health. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. So we're not criticizing the sick. We're saying there's a better way. Listen, I've been sick, I've been well, well's better. Amen. I know I'm a genius. Wow. So the Passover lamb in two places represented strength to their flesh or healing to their bodies. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Y'all lumps today, I guess. As you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, sacrifice for us. Well, what did the Passover represent? It represented a few things. The atonement, the reparation, or the payment, or the sacrifice, or the propitiation, it represented that. But it also represented physical healing. And the Bible says Christ is our Passover. So you can look back in the Old Testament, see what was the Passover for, find out what it was, say, Christ was the same thing for us. Our Passover, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Pastor, it's Easter. Why didn't you read us a Reader's Digest message with a couple poems and 3 points in a poem? Because the Holy Ghost wants to get things done here. I'm just not a guy that's going to show up with a canned message. Because the Lord knows what we need to hear. And it's help for people. Change your whole world being free of sickness and disease. Yeah, let me just say that. What would your life look like without sickness, disease, and pain? What would it look like without having to take all the medication? She said, oh, that's not possible. It's not possible naturally, maybe, but God's not a natural God. Amen. Wave your hand, James Mays, back there. Stage 4 cancer. Told he was never going to be healed. Guess what? He's completely healed. Wave your hands, Julie Clendenning. Wave it again. Fibromyalgia, incurable asthma condition, medication out the wazoo. You allowed to say that in church? I just did. How much medication do you take now? None. Where's Jake at? Jake, how many pills and medications did you have taken in your body before you came here? How much addictions, how much sickness in your body? Rampant, wasn't it? Yeah. Free now. Amen. Michelle, is it better to be free from MS or have MS? Free. Amen. Grandma Alice, your doctor wrote you a report and said the results are nothing short than amazing. This stuff is real. But see, the most people in the church, they just see God. Oh, I don't want anything to do with Him. Church is dead and Christians act like idiots. It's true. And nobody's had an encounter or a touch of God. They say, oh, going through the motions, blah, blah, blah. We don't go through the motions here. We get work done. Amen. Lives get changed here. We have a superhero in the church. His name is Rich Luce. Raise your hand, Rich Luce, over there in the back. Hit by a truck. Doctor said this and this and this about his life. And guess what? Rich got supernaturally healed. Supernatural recovery. Doctors are like, you can't believe this. And Rich told them why. It's the power of God. And the doctor said to him, oh, you're one of those. Yep, I am. But you can just keep taking thoughts from the enemy. And living in tradition and living in your own pride. And living in the hell on earth that you're living in. Or you can have heaven on earth. It's up to you. God will allow you to be sick if you want to be sick. He'll allow you to be poor if you want to be poor. He'll allow you to be depressed, discouraged, full of anxiety and fear if you want to. But He offers you a higher way. That's what Pastor Mike's trying to do today. Not condemn the sick and come down on the sick. Bring the sick up into healing. Jesus is our Passover, 1 Corinthians 11:27. For whosoever, this is talking about communion, when Jesus, we're going to take communion up after the end of service, how Jesus taught, we are, right? Taking up communion at the end of service. I got to make sure we have it here. I thought we did, you know. We run into the store getting some bread or something. Wherefore, this is talking about communion. Whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup. Well, the bread represents the body of Jesus. The blood, or the juice or the wine represents the blood of Jesus. It says, whoever shall eat or drink of the bread of this cup, of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So it's not talking about take 3 bites and not 4. You're doing it wrong. It's not take use your right hand to sip. No. Unworthily means to not discern. To partake of the bread. Remember, Jesus' body is represented by the bread. The blood of Jesus is represented by the wine or the juice. Well, what did we read about? That the Passover lamb was represented for physical healing. Well, the Bible says Jesus is our Passover. Jesus' body is our Passover, His sacrifice. Well, when we eat the bread and drink, it's a representation of His body. And the Bible says, don't do it unworthily. How do you do it unworthily? You don't discern what it means. Partaking of Jesus without understanding what it means. And look what it says in verse 30. For this cause. What cause? The cause that he just said. What? Not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? Not fully understanding what Jesus has done for you will cause many to be weak, sick, and sleep. That's just the progression of death. Weak first, get sick, and then sleep. And it ain't talking about a nap, it's talking about a dirt nap. Know what a dirt nap is? That's the final nap. That's what it's talking about. He said the reason that many in the body of Christ are sick is because they haven't discerned or understand. Why? You can't receive what you don't know. What you don't understand. I couldn't get that money till I knew. How to get that money? How do I get it? It wasn't just enough to find out that it was. I had to find out how to get it. had to go through a certain website, fill out certain forms and things, and then I got a check in the mail. But it didn't just come to me. I had to learn about it. Same way healing. You don't discern the Lord's body? You eat that unworthily, you don't understand. The body was broken for me. The blood was shed like the Passover lamb. Not only do I have forgiveness of sins, but I have freedom in my body from sickness and disease. Amen. Heather, you weren't supposed to have any babies. They told you it was impossible. Wave your hand, Heather. But prayed and believed God, right? Everybody put their faith with your faith. And guess what? She's got two now. Yeah, impossible. Impossible. You'll never have them. I don't go by what the world, the doctor say. I go by what my God says. Hallelujah. Many are weak, sick, and sleep. Why? They don't understand. What am I trying to tell you today? The body of Jesus did not just pay the price for your sin. It paid the price for your sickness and your disease. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. I've done deeper teachings on this. I don't have time to do so here. But if you even go on the website and go to the Allegheny website, we just did a healing series, and it was healing part 4 where I taught in detail about this. I don't have time to teach in complete detail here. But you can go on there and listen to that. Just go to the website. The website is on this little brown card here. But you have to know something about Isaiah. He was known as the Messianic prophet. What does that mean? He prophesied about Jesus years and years before the Savior would ever come. And it says, Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, surely he, now this is talking about Jesus, surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, again, for the complete study, listen online or see me in private, and I'll give you all the verses for this. We don't have time for it. All I can tell you is the truth is, and you can find this out on your own, this isn't me trying to pull the covers over your eyes, and I'll actually prove it by the Bible in a second. The word griefs and sorrows, which were written in the Hebrew, were incorrectly translated by human beings. How do we know? Because we have the original manuscripts that tell us what the original Hebrew meant. And that word now, griefs in the Hebrew is the word halai, and the word sorrows in the Hebrew is the word makab or makab. Now, everywhere else, and if you want these references, you can come see me, I'll give them to you. Everywhere else in the Old Testament where those words halai and makab were used were not translated into English as griefs and sorrows. You know what they were translated in English to? Sickness and pain. I believe what happened is the translators had their minds blown when the Bible testified, Isaiah prophesied, because Isaiah prophesied, he saw Jesus on the cross, saw not only is he paying for our sins, he's paying for our sickness. Surely he bore our sickness and our pains, is what Isaiah wrote, and I'll prove it in Matthew here in a second. Sickness and pains, diseases, and the translator said, that can't be, that can't be, just like the majority of the body of Christ says, that can't be, that can't be, and why a majority of the body of Christ walk in sickness. It's true. The majority of the body of Christ is broke down, poor, depressed, and weak, just waiting to get to heaven. When the Bible says we ought to be the most intelligent, most dominating, the healthiest, the wealthiest on planet Earth. But that ain't the case. It's not. I've never heard this before. Maybe you never heard the Bible. Maybe you were taught religion growing up and how God's mad at you and just hang on till you get to heaven. No. God didn't give me Jesus so I could just hang on. He gave me Jesus to overcome. Hallelujah. And so the words should be translated, surely he bore our sickness and carried our pains. He bore it where? On the cross. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, talking about on the cross. And with his stripes we are healed. Healing was provided for you the same place that salvation was provided for you. Thousands of years ago on the cross, healing was also. Why? He bore our sickness and our pains. Now, the best commentary on this to say, Pastor, I don't know, Greek, Hebrew, all that. Let's just let the Bible interpret the Bible. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Now remember, Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied and saw into the future and saw, wow, he's bearing our sickness and our pains. The translators put griefs and sorrows. If it's griefs and sorrows, then by his stripes we're not healed physically. And by the way, this is just a quick little side note here. This is kind of like a little appetizer on the side, you know, just something here, the bread on the side of the meal. When they say in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5, say, by his stripes you're healed, people will say, the religious people say, no, that's talking about spiritually healed. You were spiritually healed. You were never spiritually healed, though. That's the problem. Healing means to put a band-aid on to make something better. You weren't spiritually bandaged up when you got born again. You were spiritually made brand new. The Bible says you become a new creation. You were born again. Your spirit man was not bandaged up. It was born again. Reborn. You weren't healed spiritually. But anyways, Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to verse, actually go back, Kim Lai, to verse 16. When evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And I love that people, when people say healing passed away in the Bible. So what they're saying is God loved those people more in verse 16 than he loves his people now. That's just not true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, the Bible says. Healing was available in the Old Testament. It was available during the time of Jesus. And we've had testimonies here this morning. It's available today. Now it says he healed all that were sick. Why? Now this is Matthew writing. Hundreds upon hundreds of years after Isaiah wrote, but Matthew knows the Old Testament, look what he says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So he sees Jesus healing people and a light bulb goes off in his head. He says, I remember reading about this in Isaiah the prophet. That's what he says. He says, it was spoken. He says, what I'm seeing, Jesus healing bodies, was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, and now Jesus is here fulfilling that, saying himself took or bore our griefs and sorrows. No. When Matthew quoted when he quoted the Old Testament in Hebrew, he read it as infirmities or sickness, and bear our sickness, or infirmities, disease, and pain. All those words go together there. And bear our sicknesses. Well, that's in context. He's watching Jesus do that. He says, I remember Isaiah wrote about that. Isaiah wrote about that. Well, when he read Isaiah, he didn't read griefs and sorrows. Jesus wasn't healing griefs and sorrows that day. He was healing all that were sick in body. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5 says that he bore our sickness and our pains and our diseases. And by his stripes, because of that, we can now walk into healing. Just the same way we say on the cross, he bore our sin. And now we can walk into forgiveness. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. Now, for the skeptics that say, but in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, he was on the cross. He's not on the cross here. This can't be talking about Isaiah 53 and verse 4 on the cross because Jesus was not on the cross yet. Ladies and gentlemen, did Jesus forgive people before he died on the cross? Sure did. Your sins are forgiven you. He had the power to forgive sins. Go study it out before he ever died on the cross. Why? He was already the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In God's eyes, it was already done. This was prepayment of the cross. He was healing people on credit. He was forgiving people on credit, knowing what he would do. Just like you, you'll buy something that you don't have the money for on credit, but knowing that the payment's coming later. He was already the lamb slain. It was a done deal. So what was he doing? Forgiving before he died and healing before he died. Now, I'm going to close with this. The greatest picture that you can have of Jesus bearing our sickness and our disease on the cross, because so many people are skeptical of that. Let me show you something that will make you love him even more than you already do. So remember it says that, go back to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Jesus healing people on credit. The lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Isaiah 53, I'm almost done here, but you need to see this. Because there's people, man, I'll tell you what, sickness and disease is tormenting. Pain is awful. That ain't what God has for people. But if you don't want to choose to go God's way and do it God's way, you can keep living sick if you want to. But I wouldn't if I were you. Isaiah 53 says, surely he has borne. Now we know what those next words are. Our sickness and carried our pains, or our infirmities, our diseases. You know, if you see, there's certain people, maybe when they're older, you know, that they didn't work a desk job or some just physically, you know, the job that wasn't very labor intensive. And then you see people that maybe worked a labor intensive job and it shows up in their body, right? Shows up in their body. Well, if Jesus bore, if the prophet saw him on the cross, because he didn't bear them on the earth until he went to the cross. He didn't bear sin on the earth until he went to the cross. If he literally bore sickness and disease, and remember, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and we look at the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, and it says, every sickness that's not even named yet, we've been redeemed from. That would mean for you to be redeemed from whatever you're going through would have had to have been paid for, just like every sin you've ever done would have to be put on him. Every sickness and disease would have to be laid upon Jesus. So what Isaiah's seeing into the future, he's seeing Jesus on the cross bearing sickness and disease. There's no better picture of that than Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Now get ready. Talking about Jesus, remember, this is the messianic prophet prophesying about Jesus. Every biblical scholar on planet Earth will tell you verse 14 is about Jesus. It says, many were astonished, that just means astonished or shocked, at you, at Jesus. They were shocked at you. Why would they be shocked at him? His visage, that word visage is just a fancy King James way of saying his appearance. His appearance was so marred, more than any man, one translation said, more than any man as ever before, his appearance was so marred and changed more than any man ever before. Now, goes on to say, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, let me read that. Kim Lai, would you pull up the Amplified? It'll help us to understand this a little bit more. I'm going to read it in three different translations, that verse. This is talking about Jesus on the cross now. For the servant of God became an object of horror. Ever seen a horror film and some of the creatures and things that are on? He became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance. Now think about that for a second, because we know what part of his appearance was affected. He got a crown of thorns. He got beat, got spit on, got nails in the hands and nails in the feet. But the Bible says his face, his whole appearance was marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that the sons of men, but just as many were astonished at him. Listen to what it says, you go back to the King James, in the NIV, the New International Version, just helps you understand it better. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond even human likeness. That's what it says, even more than the sons of men. He was marred more than the sons of men, more than even a human would look like. Jesus literally became the picture of something that didn't look human. That shouldn't make sense to your natural mind, knowing what I just told you. A crown of thorns does not disfigure you past being human looking. Nails in your hands do not make you look unhuman. Nails in your feet do not make you look unhuman. Getting whipped and beaten like he was does not make you look like an unhuman person. It makes you look like a messed up human, but it doesn't make you look unhuman. The Message Bible says, but he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human, a ruined face, disfigured past recognition. His visage, his appearance was marred more than any man's ever before, and his form or his appearance more than any person. He didn't even look like a human. Ladies and gentlemen, how is this possible? How? how is it possible? If he died on the cross and the nails were put in his hands to hang him there and his feet to hold him up, and the crown of thorns and the beating, that doesn't transform a person to look unhuman. Let me point something else about Jesus. If you study crucifixions, you can watch on the Discovery Channel, you can watch on the History Channel, you can... A lot of times they were such gruesome deaths because they took days for the person to die. And so what they would do to speed up the death, please, not trying to be graphic here, just telling you what it is. Sometimes we really need to think about what Jesus went through. They would stay alive because they would be hung on the cross and they would use their feet to push up to get air. And so what they would do as a sign of mercy, and you go read this and study this, they would break the legs of the people on the cross. I know, doesn't sound very kind and pleasant, but why would they do that? Because then they couldn't push up. And it would cause them to die quicker. It was an act of mercy. But when they wouldn't do that, it would go on for days and days. Jesus died in hours. And they didn't break one bone in his body. The Bible says not a bone in his body was broken. Was our Jesus just weaker than everybody else that's ever been crucified? How is it that our Jesus all of a sudden looked unhuman on the cross? How is it our Jesus looked so disfigured beyond the form? He became a horror show on the cross. Those other people were beaten before they went to the cross too. They didn't look unhuman. But the difference between the two criminals on the cross with him is they didn't get what Jesus got. The prophet told us what Jesus got. Surely he bore our sickness. What's that mean? Every type of cancer that's ever been discovered, hasn't been discovered, every level, every stage was put on his body. Every form of flesh-eating disease and bacteria and things that haven't been discovered, for you to be redeemed from that, all sickness, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, would have to have been put on him in order for you to be free of it. You know what makes a person look unhuman? When all at once, every sickness and disease that's ever been and ever not been even named or discovered yet is put on a human being, that will change your appearance. That'll change you. That'll make you look like a horror show. Have you ever seen online some of those things when flesh-eating bacteria comes in? It just, on a leg or something, it just, what in the world is that? It was on his face. It was all over. His face was ruined. He didn't even look human. They were astonished at him. What are we seeing? Every sickness and disease was placed on him. Why? So you could walk free of it. Just the same way every sin was put on him. So why? You could walk free of sin. Every sickness and disease was placed on your Jesus. And people wonder, why are you so radical, Pastor Mike? Because of what my Jesus did for me. Why am I so bold about him? Why am I so loving about him? Why am I not afraid to worship him and to tell the world about him? Because he saved my life from sickness and disease. He saved me from poverty. He saved me from sin. He saved me from depression and anxiety. I had a loaded .357 Magnum as a 16-year-old boy down an oil and gas road in Frewsburg, New York, with the hammer cocked, shaking like crazy, ready to pull that trigger. And I got supernaturally delivered that day. God showed up in that vehicle. I don't have time to tell the full testimony, but he showed up in that vehicle. And then I got born again 5 years later, filled with sickness, filled with disease, filled with depression, filled with all these. Just my life was a little picture of hell on earth. And Jesus paid for it all on the cross. And so I learned about it. I said, if that's available, I want it. Amen. Jesus paid for your disease and your sickness. Now, I'll close and just say this. It doesn't automatically happen, just like it doesn't automatically happen for salvation. You don't wake up one morning and just get saved. You had to learn about salvation, faith came in your heart, and then you received salvation. Now, I know by the Spirit of God and praying I'm supposed to do this. Real quick, go to Mark chapter 16. You receive it by faith. How did you receive salvation? Father, I believe. I'm thinking about Julie's story when she, what was it, June of 2014 is about the time you came into the church. And I was preaching a healing series. Is that right? And at the end of that service, this is when you were going through the asthma, all the medication, you know, couldn't stand up, couldn't pick your children up, do things, missing work. I asked for who wants to be healed, because Mark chapter 16 and verse, let's go to verse 18. The verses before said, these signs will follow them that believe. It said, the believer shall take up serpents, they shall drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know how Heather got free? Had hands laid on him. You know how James got free? Got hands laid on him. You know how Julie got free? Hands laid on him. Michelle's had hands laid on him. I mean, go out down the list here. Say, what does that have to do with it? That's how God ministers healing. Amen. Do you have to have hands laid on you to be healed? No, but it's a contact point of the anointing going into your body. So, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I know it's Easter Sunday. We do Easter Sunday a little different around here, but I don't care. I like healed people. How many else in here that I have not mentioned can say that since they came and learned about the Word of God, maybe it wasn't even here, but once you learned about healing, you can say you have a testimony. Put your hands up if you can. Look at all the hands. That before you didn't know, now you know, you received it, and now you're different. Yeah, it works. This stuff works. My hand would be up too. So at this time, before we take up the salvation call, because healing is not just for the Christian, it's for the world. If you're here and you have sickness in your body, and you got faith in you now that, my God, Jesus, because how do you receive your salvation? You just receive it. And you want to be prayed for by Mark chapter 16, verse 18. Hands laid on you. I'm not the healer, but He is. Would you come forward right now if you want hands laid on your for anything in your body? Don't be shy. We will have testimonies of this at the of next week, weeks to come. If you have any sickness in your body. Hi, Candace. God's going to do a work in you. He is. Talks to me about you all the time. I'm telling you it's the truth. I wouldn't say that to get your hopes up. He's going to work a miracle in you. He's a miracle God. You believe that? Amen. Yeah, you stay with it over time. You watch the changes that are going to come. And you'll be a testimony for all. Amen. Why, God's bigger than anything we face. Anybody else have anything in their body that wants to come forward? Don't miss out on this. This is your chance to receive healing. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to Mark chapter 16, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for her healing. I speak healing, I should say, into her life, into her body. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father, I thank you the power of God goes into her for a cure. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, I speak healing into him from head to toe. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. All sickness and disease must go according to the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for healing her from head to toe. Father, I thank you the power of God's working in her for a cure, driving out sickness and disease. In your hands, Candace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that that power is working in her mightily. Father, we speak that power of God into her, and we say from head to toe, she's delivered. Anything that's missing, anything that's out of order, anything that's lacking must be replaced. And Father, we thank you. We will see the end result. So Father, we thank you for miracles. This isn't just a healing case. This is a case of needing a miracle. We believe you for miracles, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We will see great change in Candace, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, from the top of Sandy's head to the bottom of her feet, we pray for her. Power of God go into her from head to toe. All sickness and disease must go in the name of Jesus. Remember, I'm not the healer, but the power of the word is. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command all sickness and disease to leave this body now. In Jesus' name. From the top of Gina's head to the bottom of her feet, we command all sickness and all disease to leave her body. According to Jesus, by his stripes, you are healed. Now, you can go ahead and be, oh, Vinny, all right, in the name of Jesus, Father, from head to toe, free. All sickness, all disease, driven out of your body. It's not allowed to stay there, Vinny. Now, this is important. You go ahead and put that back, Jeff. For those of you that just had hands laid on you, your job now is just to thank God, thank God, thank God, until it manifests. Brother Hagin told the story of, thank you, he laid his hands on a woman that had a growth on her face. It's huge. She could see it out of the corner of her eye every time she looked in the mirror. She wanted that thing gone. Brother Hagin laid hands on her, cursed that thing, according to the word, not his own power. Said, in the name of Jesus, I command that thing to dry up and get off her face. He said to her, now, all you need to do, don't go check it in the mirror. Don't be looking at it. Don't be, feeling how how sad you are. Just continue to thank God. The power of God's working in me for a cure. The power of God's working in me for a cure. She woke up after day one. He said, I don't care how long it takes. The power's in you. Just keep saying it. Just keep thanking God for it. She woke up day one, still there. Father, I thank you. I'm healed. See, you're not healed when the manifestation shows up. You were healed 2,000 years ago at the cross. Just the same place when your sin was paid for, your sickness was paid for. It already belongs to you. You just got to receive it now. How do you receive it? By faith. What's faith? Believing it. Thanking God for it. Confessing it. Day two, she wakes up. It's still there. Thank you, Father. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven, day eight, day nine. It's still there. He told her, he said, I encourage you, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Well, he said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. We like instantaneous manifestations and we've had them. I've had some doozies in my life that God has used me through my hands, that the power of God, not my hands, but you know what I mean? I laid hands on people and we've had instantaneous things. And then other times, over time, recovering. Power of God working in that body for a cure. According to your faith be it done in you. Day nine, she wakes up, nothing. Father, I thank you, I'm healed. Power of God went in me 9 days ago. Day 10, she wakes up, feels something different. It's gone. It's gone. If you'll stay at it, those of you that were up here and had hands laid on you, and you'll stay at it, I don't care what the symptoms say, I don't care what the doctor says, I don't care what your feelings say, I don't care what your thoughts say, if you'll continue to say, because remember, it's not about how you feel, it's about what the Word says. You know, when I wake up at 4 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning to go turkey hunting, I don't feel saved. I don't feel saved, but I'm saved. When I get cut off in traffic, I don't feel saved. Do you? When somebody wrongs you, you don't feel saved, but guess what? It's not about your feelings, it's about what you are. And so if you'll stay with it, people that had hands laid on you, and continue to say, on Easter Sunday, the power of God went in me for a cure. And just like every other person that testified, you think God loves James May and Julie and Michelle and Jake and all these people, Grandma Alice, all these other people, raise their hand. Think he loves them more than you? No. If they got it, you can get it. Amen. Amen. Just keep saying every day, I'm healed, the power's working. I'm healed, the power's working. Amen. Just keep saying that over her, Gina. Father, the power of God's working in Candace. The power of God's working in Candace. Oh, I could tell you stories. Someday maybe I will to get your faith up. Because I know what people see. They see things in the natural, experience things in the natural. God, see, you got to start blowing up the natural and start blowing up your God. God's big. Praise God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for those healings. We thank you that there will be testimonies, Father. And Lord, this was available to everybody. This was available to every single person, Lord. You're not excluding anybody. And Lord, we're so grateful and so thankful for healing being a part of the blessing. But Father, we know it's not the only part of the blessing. There's actually more. There's peace. There's freedom from anxiety and fear that the cross paid for. There's our poverty, so we wouldn't have to be poor and we could walk into provision. But today we looked at sickness and disease. We are free from that because of what you did for us 2,000 and some years ago. But Lord, the most important gift ever, just like I read in that first verse that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believes on me, even though they will die, they're going to live. Please bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. I'm not trying to be bossy, but I also want to make everybody feel comfortable. My goal is not to embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you can hear my voice online or in this building, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes, I would go to heaven. And if you say, Pastor, how can you be sure about that? Because I just simply did what the Bible said to do. What's the Bible say to do? If I call on the name of the Lord, I'll be saved. Wait, there's nothing about church attendance in there, nothing about being a good person, nothing about changing my lifestyle, doing all this. No. Call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Remember what the criminal on the cross did? One of them mocked Jesus, and the other one said, I believe who you are. And the criminal looked at him and said, or Jesus looked at the criminal and said, you're in. He didn't say, no, you're not good enough, you're a bad person, you've been sentenced to die because you're bad, you don't go to church enough. No. Jesus made it simple. God made it simple. Believe on Him. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Again, you're not joining this church. You don't ever have to step foot in this place again. That's not how you go to heaven. But with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning and know for sure, you can say in your heart, I believe in Him. I believe in Him. There's just one step left, just confessing your belief for Him and receiving Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus for the first time, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all want to receive Him? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here this morning that's never done it before? This isn't about the raising of the hand, just so you know, but it helps me to know who I'm praying for. Is there anybody else that wants to receive the Lord for the first time? Again, you're not joining this church, but something in your heart is saying, there's something to this. I don't understand it all in my head, but deep down in your heart, say, there's something to this. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus before we close the service? Father, we had a hand, and by chance there's other people that just didn't raise their hand. We're going to go ahead and pray and believe You. It doesn't matter if you raise your hand. It's about believing in Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you raised your hand or if you wanted to raise your hand but you didn't, along with everybody in the church, let's go ahead and pray and ask Jesus into our heart. Say this to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sin. I believe You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, say, it can't be that simple. It is. We're going to take up communion now. Go ahead, brothers. You can go ahead and start waiting on the people. As communion's being passed out, I ask that this be a time of reverence and remembering what Jesus has done for us, the price He paid for us, and we'll take it together. So just when you get your elements, just hold them in your hand there. And when everybody has them all passed out, we'll go ahead and take communion together. But just be in an attitude of worship and praise and thanksgiving for what He's done for you on the cross. Lord, we bless You this morning. Lord, I think about my life before You and the difference of my life after You. And it's not some, and I know what the thought is, well, that works for you, but that's not for me. No, it's for everybody. A lot of people might not want it or want to receive it, but that's just because they don't have a revelation of how loving and good You are and what You want to do in their life. Father, I didn't just have things just magically disappear or appear in my life. The financial miracles, the physical miracles that the doctor said, it'll never, it's incurable, can't happen. Financial miracles and blessings and favor and supernatural things that have followed me since I've received You, Father, are undeniable. And it all started at the cross. January 10th, 2002 is the day I gave my heart to You in a cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. You saved me thousands of years ago, but I received it on January 10th, 2002. And Lord, I owe my whole life to You. I am so grateful and so thankful. Where I used to be, Father, I was placed on the spiritual junk pile, left for dead. But You saw something there, Father. You loved me so much, You sent someone my way to tell me about You. And Father, I thank You so much for all that You've done for me, all that You've given to me, all that You've provided for me through Jesus, all that You've done for the people in this church, all that You've done, Father, for mankind. Lord, it breaks my heart that people don't recognize. It breaks my heart that people don't see it and don't surrender to it because they have ideas or they have thoughts in their head. All You are is just the most loving, the kindest, the merciful, the most merciful, the most kind, the most loving. You are for us in every single way. Father, I pray for the people here this morning that have a wall built up between You and them. And I pray that that wall would come down. Father, they just don't know how good their life can be. The supernatural provision and help. I'm not saying their life's bad now, but I'm saying You can make anything better. All the help and provision and healing that is available to them, Lord, I pray that they would see it, that they would recognize it. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 23, Paul, talking about community, says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Remember what his body did. "It bore everything for you, which is broke for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's go ahead and break the bread as a symbol of his body being broken. Go ahead and partake of that. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we saw so clear today what your body did for us. It was broken. It was marred. It went through the ringer for us. We thank you for our healing today. Verse 25, "After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" Go ahead and drink. Now, Lord, we thank you that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was spilled, the precious blood of Jesus that wipes away all sin, makes us white as snow. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Father, we praise you this morning. Let's stand to our feet and just worship him. Just being thankful to him. We love you, Lord. We thank you for healing in our bodies. It belongs to us. It belongs to us. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you and we magnify you. Just think, the Lord thought it so important that you hear this, that at 1:30 in the morning last night, he's talking to me. He loves people. He loves people. Father, we thank you. We praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, one second, before everybody does anything, we're going to end up passing the cups to the center. There's no fellowship today. We want to give all the workers and people that help time off to go with their family. So everybody go have a blessed Easter. We'll see you on Sunday morning. No Wednesday service. You are dismissed. Oh, no.